All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 41. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 41. We'll look at one verse and then we'll begin from there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. And of course, Matthew chapter 5 is part of the Lord Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And he says in verse number 41 to his disciples, he said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him." Right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Father, for the Word of God, the King James Bible. Father, we just pray that you'd bless our time together. Father, we pray that you'd bless your Word, that it would go out and not return void, Father. Father, I pray that you'd remove me out of the way, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, fill me with the Spirit of God to speak and to preach and teach only those things that you'd have me this very day. Father, now, we commit this time into thy hands, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning we want to preach from that text, as Jesus said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." We want to look at the title of this morning's message is The Second Mile. The Second Mile. As a bit of introduction, we want to see what is the meaning of the second mile? Amen. What is the meaning of the second mile? Well, the meaning of the second mile means to go further than what's required. To go the second mile is to go further than what is required of you and me. You know, grace, God's amazing saving grace, always goes further than the law. When we mean the law, we mean the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You know, praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for each and every one of us as sinners, that he went the second mile for you and I, because we'd still be under that Old Testament law. Amen. And every one of us would be a condemned, hell-bound sinner. The law said unto Moses, "Thou shalt and thou shalt not." But grace says, "Forgive, bless, and curse not." The law is the first mile, and grace is the second mile. Why should you and I as Christians go the second mile? Well, the reason that you and I should go the second mile is that the character of our Heavenly Father may be known in us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount in verse number 45, he said that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. See, the world today needs to see more second mile children of God. Jesus went that second mile, and so should we. First of all, as we look at the second mile, as Christians, we are to go the second mile like Jesus in love. We are to go the second mile like Jesus in love. Notice what the generation of Jesus' day had heard in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." Well, this was even a perversion of the law of Moses, because even the stranger in Israel was not to be mistreated. Amen. In fact, we read in Proverbs chapter 25, which would put us doctrinally under the Old Testament law. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 25. So what they heard in Jesus' name day was a perversion, to love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, because as we see as we turn to Proverbs chapter 25, we'll see that it said in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 21 and 22 that if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Amen. So this was a perversion, what they were hearing, of love thy enemy. Amen. And hate thy, love thy neighbor, excuse me, and hate thy enemy. There is no reward for this kind of philosophy. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, we read, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" See, the sinners and the publicans can express this kind of love. Because this kind of love, in other words, loving those that love you, this kind of love is love on the first mile. Everybody can do that. Sinners can do that. Amen. Notice what Jesus told his disciples to do in verse 44. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies." It isn't hard, amen, to love your friends and your family or those who love you. The saved or unsaved can do that. But loving, blessing, and doing good and praying for your enemies like God loves manifests our sonship. It tells others that we are children of God, that we belong to a heavenly Father. Amen. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 5 with me this morning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, it says, and beginning in verse number 8, "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So, when Christ asks you and I to go the second mile in love, he's not asking you and I to do anything that he hasn't already done, amen. We see here that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you and I, the ungodly, amen. Because he loved, not because we loved him, but because he loved us. And what Jesus is telling you and I to do is to go the second mile in love. As he went the second mile and he died on that cross, that cruel cross of Calvary, as he hung out on that cross, amen. The Bible tells us that cursed is anything that hangeth on a cross, amen. He was a curse for us who should have been cursed. He was he who knew no sin was made sin for us, amen. So we're to love our enemies. We're to go the second mile, amen. You know, Galatians chapter 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love. And when we talk about love, we're not talking about the love that we find on the first mile. We're not talking about the love, amen, about loving those that love us. But we're talking about love on the second mile, the love of loving your enemies, amen. And the fruit of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22 tells us the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's only love that can be generated by the Holy Spirit of God within a believer. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. That's how you and I can get that power. Amen. That Holy Spirit power, that fruit of the Spirit that enables you and I to go the second mile in love. Amen. To love our enemies. Amen. In the flesh it's hard to do to love our enemies. But in the Spirit it's easy. Amen. So number one this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ compels you and I to go the second mile like in love like he did. Amen. Number two, we are to go the second mile by overcoming evil with good. By overcoming evil with good. We see there back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 38, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." That's the Old Testament law, amen. You know, do unto others as they would do unto you, amen. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And then in verse 44, again he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Doing good is a weapon that will overcome evil. Doing good is a weapon that will overcome evil. Of course, society won't tell you that. The world won't tell you that. Amen. This is also found in the Pauline epistles. Amen. What Jesus said here. Remember, Jesus was still, when he walked upon this earth, dispensationally speaking, doctrinally speaking, he was under the Old Testament law. Amen. But we see that what he's saying here extends right into the age of grace, because it's found smack dab in the Pauline epistles and Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Amen. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says, recompense, that means to pay back to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, that's saved and unsaved. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, many times today within marriages we see the husband and wives taking it out on each other, amen. You know, and as I preach and I teach here, the husband is given the responsibility to be over the family, amen, and you know, if he's not doing right, amen, a lot of times the wife likes to, you know, repay the husband, amen, right away. But God will take care of him. God will take care of that husband that isn't doing right by his wife and his family, amen. Because he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, amen. Let God take care of that husband that isn't doing what he's supposed to do, amen, ladies. God will take care of him. God will straighten him out. He'll do a better job than you could ever do, amen. But doing good to those who harm you, as we're talking about going the second mile this morning, is going further than what's required of you, amen. But doing good to those who harm you is the second mile. Think how Jesus was treated, amen. Yet he was dying on that cross for the very ones who crucified him, amen. This is the Spirit of Christ, amen. Again, one of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, amen. In the flesh, you and I, amen, cannot overcome evil with good. But with the Holy Spirit indwelling each and every one of us as believers, we can overcome evil with good, amen. Because when we do not overcome evil with good, amen, and we allow bitterness to enter into our lives and into our hearts, and bitterness is like an ugly weed that grows within the Christian. And that weed, as we know, stifles the grass and the other plants. That weed, that root of bitterness will stifle you and I as Christians. Will stifle our growth, amen. And we'll become angry and bitter individuals, amen. But you and I have the power in us through the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, that you and I are capable, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, to overcome evil with good. As hard as it may seem, and as hard as society is against that, amen, is, you know, we have that that old expression, you know, don't get angry, get even, amen. But God wants you and I to overcome evil with good, and we can do it by through the Holy Spirit of God. So go in the second mile. We should go the second mile like Jesus did in love. We should go the second mile as Christians like Jesus did by overcoming evil with good. Amen. Imagine again, here he is hanging up on that cross, dying for the people who spit upon him, who mocked him, who beat on him, who railed on him. Amen. He overcame evil with good. Amen. Praise God that he didn't have a root of bitterness in him. He says, Father, I'm not going to this cross for this world full of sinners, amen. But he went up on that cross, amen. He was obedient to the cross. He died on that cross. He overcame evil with good. We need, number three, to overcome, we need to go the second mile in prayer, you and I. We need to go the second mile in prayer. We see there back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44, it tells us that you and I, Jesus tells you and I, that we need to go the second mile in prayer. Amen. Looking in verse 44, he says, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and look at now here, it says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. That's counter to our nature, is it not? When someone hurts you and despitefully uses you and persecutes you, what we want is the wrath of God. We want heaven to open up, or we want the ground to open up, and for that human being to just be swallowed up and go down in the pits of hell. Amen. That's what you and I want to do. But what God says, no, we're not to do that. He said, vengeance is mine. He says, we're to pray for that person. Boy, is that hard to do in the flesh. To pray for someone that's persecuted you, amen, and despitefully used you. But Jesus said, he went the second mile. When he hung on that cross, he said about the people that crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was going the second mile, amen. That was going the second mile. To pray for those who despise and persecute you, that they may be win, that you may win them to Christ, actually, amen. That you may win them to Christ, amen. You know, I'll give you just an illustration from my own life. Oh, it's been about 5 or 6 years, amen. But I had an incident in my backyard where someone had set my shed on fire, my little tool shed, amen, where I keep my lawnmower and everything, amen. And they didn't really know who did it, amen. But I tell you, it was a really, you know, it was a difficult experience to go through. And I tell you, my heart, I wanted that person, you know, just anything and anything God could do to them. But I tell you, I turned it over to God. And I said to God, I prayed to God that he would give me an opportunity to witness to that individual, because obviously that individual needed Jesus Christ in their life. Anybody to go onto somebody's property and set their shed on fire, amen, needs the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. So, you know, that was in the summer, and lo and behold, as I prayed, I laid that prayer before for God almost on a daily basis, amen, that I would have an opportunity to witness to that person who had persecuted me, amen, who had despitefully used me, amen. And sure enough, it was around the winter time after that incident happened. I'm driving down the street, and I get a snowball thrown at the car, and for some reason, ordinarily I would have kept on going, not have paid any attention. My wife will tell you, I felt the Holy Spirit of God. I turned that car around, and I stopped in front of this house, and there was a group of 3 or 4 young men there, probably in their early 20s, amen, who had thrown that. And I went in there, amen, and I said to them, I said, tell me what I did, young man, for you to throw that snowball at me. I want to know so I can apologize, amen, to you. And they were all shaking, astonished. And I said to you know what your problem is, young man? You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You need to be saved. And I handed each and every one of these men a gospel tract, amen. But one of them wouldn't take the tract. And the one that didn't take the tract, amen, was the one that they thought that set that shed on fire, amen. But God gave me the opportunity to witness, to go the second mile, to pray for the person who did this to me individually, to give me an opportunity to witness to them, amen. And praise God. That's what you and I are to do. We're to go the second mile, to pray for those who despise and persecute you, that you may win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we have the account of Stephen preaching to the rulers of Israel. In Acts chapter 7, we have the example here, the illustration here, again, of going the second mile. Stephen was a deacon in the church at Jerusalem, and he's here before the rulers of the Jews, and he preaches a fire and brimstone message. He tells the nation, these Jewish rulers, they need to get right with God. They need to repent of crucifying their Messiah, amen. And they need to repent from that and turn from their sins, amen. And then we see the reaction of the crowd, amen. We see what their reaction is. Look at what it says here in Acts chapter 7 and number verse number 54. Acts chapter 7, number 50, verse number 54, it says, when they, this is the crowd that Stephen had just preached to, when they heard these things, his preaching, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. See, they were convicted, amen. They were convicted, but they were convicted in the wrong way, amen. Usually, conviction will go either way. Either you'll repent and get right with God, or you'll rebel against God that much more, amen. You'll get angry, you'll get upset. And that's exactly what these men did, these Jewish rulers at the preaching of Stephen. It says that they were cut to the heart, they were convicted, and they gnashed with him on their teeth. They were ready to kill that man, amen. Their teeth were grit, and they were grinding on their teeth, amen. And then we see here in verse 57, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They were angry. They were fire, hot, red, mad. They're going after this guy now. They're going after Stephen. How dare he talk to us that way, amen. Us Jewish rulers, who is this little upstart, amen? Then we see, and cast him out in verse 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But look at Stephen's reaction in verse 60, what he does. Here's a crowd that stone him, come after him, angry with him, stone him, they stone him to death. And look at what he prays in Acts chapter 60, or Acts chapter 7, verse 60, excuse me. He says, and he kneeled down, and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. He prayed for those who had just stoned him to death. He prayed for them. Lay not, he said, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. He prayed for those that despitefully used him. He prayed for those who persecuted him. You know, I'm persuaded, you know, we read there in verse 58, in verse 58 of Acts 7, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul. That was Paul the apostle before he gets saved. He was right there when Stephen got stoned. And I am persuaded that this started Saul of Tarsus to thinking. Stephen was on the second mile. What Stephen did in praying for this crowd here, it was a second mile prayer, amen. He prayed for those who persecuted him, despitefully used him, and I think this had some kind of an effect on Paul, because he was right there at the stoning of Stephen. Then we read in Acts 8, chapter 8, the next chapter, verse 1, and it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So we see then, Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen. He saw everything that went on. You know, everybody gave, you know, they took off their jackets so they could heave these big rocks, and they at Stephen, and they laid all their clothes at the feet of Saul, and he was saying, go get him, boys, go do it, finish him off, he's no good, he's one of those Christians, one of those disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And we see that this indeed did have an effect on Paul, because we know later on that Paul got converted, amen, on the road to Damascus. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 22, we see in Acts chapter 22 that Paul talks about this incident of Stephen stoning when he's talking to others about, he's giving his testimony and how he was converted and how he was saved and how his life was before he got saved. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 19, we see Paul here is giving again his testimony about his conversion, how he got saved, how his life was before he got saved. And we see in verse 19 of Acts 22, it says, "And I said, Lord, thou know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting upon his death, and kept the remnant of them that slew him." So here we see Paul talking about his conversion and how he, when the Lord saved him, amen, when he was on the road to Damascus, he was talking to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, I'm the one that persecuted those and beat everyone in the synagogues that believed on thee. And I also was there when they stoned Stephen, and his blood is on my hands because I was consenting to his death," amen. But we see Stephen went the second mile. He prayed, and I believe it had an impact on Saul that day. He saw this man being brutally beaten, being stoned to death, getting down on his knees and praying that God would not lay the sin or the charge of the sin of what these men had just done. I believe, amen, I believe that it affected Saul, and it was one good reason that he got saved. And you and I, amen, if we go the second mile in prayer and we pray for those, amen, to despitefully use you and persecute you, that it just may be the thing that needs them to come to Christ. It just may be the difference. They're going, I've persecuted this person, I've despitefully used them, I've done this person dirty, and here they are praying for me. Praying for me. Amen. You know? Maybe that's what we need to say to that person that despitefully uses you. I'm going to pray for you every day. I'm going to pray that you get saved. Amen. It just may be enough. It just may be the difference in their life that they get saved, that they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as I believe that Stephen's prayer, the day that he got stoned after preaching to the rulers of Israel, had an effect on Saul, who later became Paul when he was converted. Amen. We can have an effect if we will go the second mile in prayer for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. Amen. So we need to go the second mile in love. We need to go the second mile by overcoming evil with good. We need to go the second mile in prayer for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. And finally, you and I, we need to go the second mile in forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, Jesus taught his disciples to forgive. It's probably one of the hardest things for you and I to do as human beings. Saved and unsaved. Even when we're saved, we should be doing this. But it's even hard for saved people, for Christians. But he taught this. Jesus taught for us to forgive. Amen. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 with me. See, all of these things that we're talking about, you know, going the second mile. Going the second mile again is going further than what is required of you. You know? Doing the easy stuff in life is going the first mile, amen. Going the second mile is the hard stuff, amen, that Christ wants you and I to do. We need to go the second mile in forgiveness. In Luke chapter 17, in verse number 3, it says, Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him not. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn thee again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So, but he goes even further, because Peter comes back. If we go to Matthew chapter 18, remember Peter said to the Lord in Matthew 18 about, well, how many times should I forgive? He just told him to forgive them seven times here in a day, amen. But the Lord even goes further. In Matthew chapter 18, we read in verse 21, Matthew 18, Then came Peter in verse 21 to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, if a person asks for forgiveness, you give it. No matter how many times, you keep giving it, amen. No matter how hard it is, if they want forgiveness, they're repentant of what they've done, then you give it to them. That's going the second mile. No matter how dirty they've done you, no matter how much this despitefully used you and persecuted you, if they come truly repentant and they ask for your forgiveness, we're to forgive them, amen. You know, the Lord forgives you and I over and over and over again, year in and year out, amen. We sin, we get down on our knees, amen. We claim the promise of John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We claim that promise every time we sin. We get down on our knees. We ask for forgiveness. He forgives us. Amen. So we're to do likewise. Someone does something. Amen. We're to forgive. Amen. We're to forgive. If they ask to truly repent and amen, then you forgive. You know, we're not to do anything less than Christ did. We are to forgive as He forgave. We see you and I are exhorted by the Apostle Paul in his epistles in Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. I want you to see, not only did Jesus say it, but Paul the Apostle carried it over right into the Pauline epistles. And why are the Pauline epistles so important? Because if you want to know what you and I are to do for as Christians today in the church age or the age of grace, we should concentrate on what the Pauline epistles say. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 with me, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind. He's talking to Christians now. One to another. That's one thing we're to do. We're going to be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, when we get on our high horse and we want to hold bitterness against someone, amen, and they've asked for forgiveness, we have to remember where you and I would be, the predicament that you and I would be in if God didn't forgive us because of what His Son did. We're to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We're to do the same. I mean, it's amazing. You go into churches today and you see them battling and fighting it out. Amen. And all kinds of... I mean, we don't even have to go into churches today. We can see what just happened here. Amen. In this church. Amen. We need to be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We're to forgive others if they come and they ask. Truly repentant for your forgiveness and for my forgiveness, we're to forgive them. As hard as it may seem, we need to get on that second mile. Amen. We need to get on that second mile because that's what Jesus would have you and I to be, is on that second mile. He'd have us to be second mile Christians. Amen. Again, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, the same thing. Forbearing one another. Forgiving. Forbearing means to put up. Amen. You know, there are things that I do that you may not like, and there are things that you do that I may not like, but we're to forbear to put up. Be long suffering. Amen. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, blatant sins, open sin. Amen. You know what I mean? We all have peculiarities. Amen. We all have some things that tick each other off. Amen. We all have these little pet peeves, but we're to forbear one another and forgive one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. Forgiveness. Go the second mile. You know, as we tie everything together and we conclude this morning, There's plenty of room on the second mile. Amen. The world today is full of one-mile Christians. That road is crowded. It's packed with them. Amen. You know, the ones that don't want to sacrifice, you know, if it's going to cause them a little pain and a little grief and a little humility. Because these things that we've talked about today, amen, going the second mile in love, amen, and overcoming evil with good and in prayer and in forgiveness, this takes humility, amen. You know, it's almost like giving up your right. Even though you're right and the other person's wrong, amen, you're giving up your right, amen. See, this world today is so fixed in, you know, this right and that right, you know, rights. And of course, we're in the last stage of the church age, the Laodicean church period. And Laodicean means the people's rights. And that's all you hear today in society and even within churches today. This is my right. I got a right for this and I got a right for that. Amen. See, that's the problem. We need to give up our right to be right. Amen. We need to go the second mile. Even though we're right and they're wrong, so what? Amen. We need to humble ourselves. Because nothing's going to get accomplished for God if we're quarreling, you know, and fighting and bickering and so forth and so on. Amen. We need to get on the second mile. We need to eat that humble pie sometimes, as hard as it may be. You know, we need to come down off the ladder. Amen. We need to remember what Christ did at Calvary for you and I. And it's because it's for Christ's sake that God forgave us. Not for something that you and I did that was marvelous, but for Christ's sake, he forgave us. For what Christ did at Calvary, amen. We have to remember, Jesus is walking the second mile. You know, we began this morning with our verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Amen. Going, in other words, doing more than what's required of you. Amen. Amen. Going beyond, you know, what's required. Going beyond that. That's the problem today. Everybody gets to their quota, amen. You know, well, the union, we've finished our quota according to what the union says, so we're finished for the day. Amen. We know that we need to go beyond that. That's the problem today as Christians and with this world. We don't go beyond what's required of us. And going beyond what's required of us is getting on that second mile and being on that second. That's what Jesus was. He was a second miler. Amen. You know, we got this marathon coming up. Amen. Monday, 26 miles and some odd feet. Amen. That's the way the Christian walk is. It's a marathon. Amen. We need to get on that second mile because that's what Jesus is. Where are you going to be? Where are you at? Are you on the first mile? Are you just satisfied, amen, to be on the first mile and just, you know, go through the motions and do what's required of you, amen? Or what the world says that you need to do to be successful? Or, you know, we call ourselves Christians, amen. And that means to be Christ-like, amen. And we're to follow him in examples. He's to be our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we look to him for how we are to live our lives. He just says this morning, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. How about you? Will you go the second mile? Will you go that second mile in love? Amen. Will you go that second mile by overcoming evil with good? Will you go that second mile to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you? Amen. And will you go that second mile in forgiveness? You know, I can't make you do it. God can't make you do it. Amen. You have a Holy Spirit of God inside you, though, that'll bring you under conviction. Amen. Consider, prayerfully consider what we've talked about today, what Jesus has presented to each and every one of you. And it applies to me too. I don't get left off the hook just because I'm the preacher. Amen. I need to be on that second mile in some things in my life that I'm not. Amen. But I pray that you'll think about that. Meditate on the Word of God. Maybe go back and read Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount and those verses that we read this morning. in the text that I preached out of. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you right now and saying, yeah, gee, I need to be on the second mile in some of these areas of my life, and I'm not. You know, praise God. That's what this is for. This is why this church is here, not only to get people to be saved, but also to feed you folks with the Word of God to help you to grow. Amen. I pray now, as we come to our time of invitation, as we do at any service, if the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you, maybe there's some area in the lives that you need to be on the second mile and you're not. Won't you come? Not at my pleading, or not. I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you, but if the Holy Spirit of God says, I want you to go to the altar this morning and pray about some things, won't you submit yourself, be humble yourself, and allow the Holy Spirit to take control in your life this morning, today? Won't you come and get on that second mile where Jesus would have you to be? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. Father, help each and every one of us to go the second mile in those areas that we spoke about. Maybe some of us are. Maybe there are some areas that we're not. But Father, we know, obviously, in all of our lives, there are some areas for improvement as Christians, some areas that we're not on the second mile. Father, we just pray the Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way during this invitation. I pray if there have been hearts spoken to this morning by the Holy Spirit of God, that they would come to the altar and pray. And we just ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.